No, I'm chairing the meeting. Where are they? Well, they will be followed by Ethico. No? Ethico is the President's Banking Association. Okay, fine. Okay, good. Okay, let's take it from here. We are in your hands. You'll introduce yourself. We've also requested a request from JSE to have a 10-minute talk to their own written submission, which was not part of our scheduled program. I have agreed on behalf of the committee that will give you 10 minutes of your of our time to go through your written submission, more so because the committee, when it visited the JSE, we were heartily and warmly welcomed by Nikki. If it was not because of that, I'm sure we're not going to allow you. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do apologize again for our lateness. Mr. Chairman, Casper Bardia, our Managing Director, could not make it today. So I am addressing you on behalf of the Banking Association. My name is Mark Britz, and I am from the Financial Markets Division. I'm accompanied by Moshe Labani, to my left, who is here as a trainee. And to the left of him, we have Ndivo, who looks after stakeholder relations. I'm also joined by Ethicor, the consulting firm, with Abdul Wahid Patel, the Managing Director, Mohammed Khalid Syed, and Amor Rousseau, a training consultant. And we are fortunate to be joined by a number of the member banks, including Standard and ABSA, who are part of the presentation. Mr. Chairperson and members of the Standing Committee, we would like to thank you for providing us with the opportunity to present to you today. And we will focus on a couple of high-level concerns with the bill. The Banking Association is the official trade association for the banking industry, and my portfolio within the Banking Association is prudential regulation, which relates to the regulatory architecture of the South African financial system. As you are aware, the Banking Association has provided substantive written comments on the bill. We have also commissioned research from an independent international firm of ex-financial market regulators called Promontory to benchmark the key provisions of the bill against international standards and current practices in other relevant jurisdictions. The Promontory report has been workshopped with National Treasury, the Financial Services Board, and the South African Reserve Bank, and we believe was well received and appropriately considered by them. The report has also been discussed with the JSE, STRATE and ASISA, the Association for Savings and Investment in South Africa. We have submitted the full report as an annexure to the Banking Association's written submission. The Banking Association would also like to record our thanks to both National Treasury and the FSB for their willingness to engage with the banking sector on this critical piece of financial legislation. The revisions made to the bill since its initial publication in August 2011 to address some of the sector's concerns are acknowledged and appreciated. The revision of the Security Service Act comes at a critical juncture in the evolution of the international regulatory landscape, with the G20 commitments in response to the global financial crisis being codified by the standing sitting bodies such as the Bank for International Settlements and IOSCO, the International Organization of Securities Commissions. The international regulatory agenda being considered today includes Basel III, the new bank regulatory framework addressing capital and liquidity failures in the banking system, systemically important financial institutions and their global interconnectedness, and the regulation of OTC derivatives, hedge funds, securitizations, and credit rating agencies. Combined with revised core principles for banking supervision, new principles for financial market infrastructures, the supervision of financial conglomerates, sound compensation practices, liquidity risk management for collective investment schemes, for ongoing disclosure of asset-backed securities, valuation of collective investment schemes, and then let's not forget high frequency trading, dark liquidity, crisis resolution, exchange traded funds, recovery and resolution regimes, enhanced disclosure requirements, a global legal entity identifier, a fundamental review of the trading book for banks, the systemic risk of money market funds, suitability requirements for the distribution of complex financial products and securities lending, and there is the next round of shadow banking and so on. This reform program has significant implications for the domestic banking sector and its role in facilitating and supporting economic development through lending, investment, and financial inclusion. This reform also brings non-banking financial institutions into the ambit of prudential regulation. Of particular importance is government's proposed move to the Twin Peaks model of financial regulation, whereby prudential regulation is the purview of one regulator, the South African Reserve Bank, and issues of consumer investment protection are the purview of another separate market conduct regulator, the Financial Services Board. The new Financial Markets Bill continues a process to respond to these global initiatives, and we look forward to the expeditious finalization of the Twin Peaks structure to provide much-needed clarity to our own regulatory reform agenda. As a financial center for the African continent, it is critical for our markets to remain well-regulated, yet globally competitive, with world-class standards in financial markets infrastructure. Let me now address our high-level concerns with the bill. Although we believe that the SRO model will be reviewed to ensure that it is still appropriate for South Africa, the revision of the Securities Services Act through this new bill provides an opportunity for us to reflect on the structures of the SRO. The bill empowers the registrar to regulate the securities markets, and through the SRO model, these powers of regulation and supervision are then delegated to the SRO. Clause 73 of the bill provides protection to the SRO in the conduct of their regulatory obligations by providing the SRO with limited liability. The SRO, as a regulator, is also permitted to have commercial interests. As regards the SRO model, it is continuously evolving on the international stage, and in South Africa, engagements with local SROs are underway to better understand the existing structures of the South African SRO model and how the international experience could benefit the domestic markets. We recognize that the SROs are well regulated, and our engagement with them will focus on the mechanisms that are in place to address the matters identified in our submission. The two slides submitted earlier have therefore been condensed into one slide. The primary focus of this presentation is to bring to the attention of the committee our concern relating to derivatives. The global financial crisis has introduced a new vocabulary to the media, that of over-the-counter derivatives, or OTCs. I shall avoid debating the merits of what has been proposed by the G20 in relation to the OTC derivatives and simply default to the commitments made by South Africa to comply with these proposals. We welcome the approach taken by National Treasury to engage the industry on how to strengthen the regulatory oversight of the OTC derivative market. We also concur with the observations of Promontory that support this approach. They note, regulatory practices are evolving rapidly. While this means that best practice in some areas may be a moving target, it also means that the debate about these issues is attracting an unprecedented level of attention by some of the best minds in the world. This provides South Africa with an ideal opportunity not only to learn from the mistakes of others, but also to leverage the advances in thinking in these areas. The bill provides necessary enabling legislation for both the establishment of trade repositories and central counterparty clearing for OTC derivatives, in line with our G20 commitments. However, it is important that this enabling framework does not inadvertently preclude the markets from using international service providers, such as trade repositories or central counterparty clearing located in another country. To this end, we believe that the local registration requirements under the Companies Act in Section 54(2) of the bill may have the unintended consequence of preventing the markets from participating in international financial market infrastructures, as well as restricting the registrar's ability to comply with international best practice should this be decided by the G20 or international standard setters in the future. The matter has been dealt with substantively in our written submission under Section 3. It is also important to note that the derivative markets in South Africa are not the same as those of Europe and North America, with much lower domestic volumes. Furthermore, the major participants in the local derivative markets are banks, who are required to report to their regulator, the South African Reserve Bank, on their derivative activities. It is important for the South African approach to regulating OTC derivatives to demonstrate a clear benefit that exceeds the cost of implementation, rather than assuming that the benefit must be there, and we will work with National Treasury to help determine that balance. One of the G20 commitments was that non-centrally cleared contracts should be subject to higher capital requirements. The adoption of Basel III from January 2013 will introduce new capital charges for OTC derivatives. Banks, as the major market participants, will need to rely on international financial market infrastructures to reduce the additional capital costs, as an approach to OTC derivatives is formulated for the South African market. Derivatives are an important risk and management tool that transfers the risk inherent in insurance, retirement, and investment products to those institutions better able to manage these risks. We believe that it is therefore critical that this matter of international access be substantively addressed in the bill so that any unintended consequences can be removed. Mr. Chairperson, that concludes our presentation. I am fortunate to be accompanied by technical representatives from major banks, and we welcome the opportunity to field any questions the Standing Committee may have on our submission, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. I did indicate that we'll, before we entertain questions and comments from honourable members, we'll also allow the JSE to talk to their presentation. Okay, before you, the Cyprus Legal Firm, are they here? Oh, okay. Why do you sit as if you are an honourable member here? Not to say you are not honourable, you are, but you are not a member of parliament who has expected you to be here. Okay, you don't have a slide presentation. You're going to talk to your... Do you need this? Okay, just going to talk through your document. All right, fine. It will be you and JSE, and then we entertain questions. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for this opportunity to present our paper. My name is Felix Senemajoni. I'm from the Cyprus Legal and Commercial Consultants, an innovative consulting firm that specializes in commercial advisory and transactions in the SADC region. Our comments mainly relate to the recent developments in Europe vis-a-vis the current legislative framework and the proposed bill. The current regulatory framework governing financial markets in the Republic is mainly through the Securities Services Act, number 36 of 2004. The purpose of the Act is to consolidate and amend the laws relating to the regulation and control of exchanges and securities trading, the regulation and control of central securities depositories, and the custody and administration of securities, and the prohibition of insider trading, to provide for the licensing of a clearing house and the approval of nominees, to provide for a code of conduct for authorized users, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Similarly, the Financial Markets Bill seeks to provide for the regulation of financial markets, to license and regulate exchanges, central securities depositories, clearing houses, and trade repositories, to regulate and control securities, trading, and become custody and administration of securities, as well as prohibit insider trading and market abuses, to provide for the approval of nominees, to provide for codes of conduct, to replace the Securities Services Act 2004 as amended by the Financial Laws General Amendment Act, so as to align this act with an international standard and to provide for matters connected therewith. My colleague spoke previously about a couple of international standards, such as Basel III, so I'm not going to talk much about it. The need for reform. The definition of the term financial market has traditionally included the banking, financial, and insurance segments. The bounds dividing these institutions, instruments, and finance were previously clear-cut, so that further distinctions were drawn within the different classes of intermediaries, with banks specializing short or medium long-term maturities, functional or commercial operations, deposits, and investments. Financial intermediaries handling broker-dealer negotiations, asset management, and advisory functions, and insurance companies dealing in life and other insurance policies. Financial markets have been used as an economic space wherein operators of various kinds, banks, financial intermediaries, mutual funds, insurance companies, and pension funds offer financial instruments and services. There is therefore a great need to properly regulate such markets. A primary objective of financial market regulation is the pursuit of microeconomic and microeconomic stability. Safeguarding of the stability of the system translates into macro controls over the financial exchanges, clearing houses, and security settlement systems. Measures pertaining to the microstability of the intermediaries can be subdivided into two categories. That is, one, general rules on the stability of all business enterprises and entrepreneurial activities, such as the legally required amount of capital, borrowing limits, and integrity requirements, and the more specific due to the special nature of financial intermediation, such as risk-based capital ratios, limits to portfolio investments, and the regulation of off-balance activities. A second objective of financial regulation is transparency in the market and in intermediaries and investor protection. The evolution of financial markets has been particularly significant in the last decade with regard to intermediaries, capital markets, and financial instruments. Structural changes have mainly involved the more traditional financial operators in banking, but have also involved investment firms and insurance companies. A number of countries, for example, the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Japan, are in fact presently radically changing their regulatory systems, hence our own case of the financial services bill. There are several supervisory models traditionally used in the regulation of financial markets. These are, one, institutional supervision. In the more traditional institutional approach, also known as sectional or by subject or by market, supervision is performed over each single category of financial operator or over each single segment of the financial market and is assigned to a distinct agency for the entire complex of activities. Secondly, we have supervision by objectives. The supervisory model by objectives or by finalities postulates that all intermediaries in markets be subjected to the control of more than one authority, each single authority being responsible for one objective of regulation, regardless of both the legal form and the intermediaries and the functions of activities they perform. Thirdly, we have got the functional supervision. This regulatory model is so-called functional supervision or supervision by activity. It considers if given the economic functions performed in the financial system. Unlike other lines of thought regarding supervisory activities, this approach does not postulate that existing institutions, whether operative or regulatory, must necessarily continue to exist as such in terms of both their structure and role. Lastly, we have got the single regulator supervision. The single regulator supervisor model is based on just one control authority, separated from the central bank and with responsibility over all markets and intermediaries, regardless of whether in the banking, financial, or insurance sector. This authority would be concerned with all the objectives of regulation, which are stability, transparency, and investor protection, and perhaps competition. After the global financial crisis of 2009-2010 and the recent Eurozone crisis, regulatory authorities have now been treating financial markets with caution and close scrutiny, We, however, need to learn from these catastrophes and see how we'll align our own financial markets to the banking sector, as both are interconnected. A good example is part of the Eurozone crisis. As already mentioned...
Sorry, since we have the document, rather than to read sentence by sentence, would expect you to talk to the document,
yes,
so that we can speed up the process. And as I look at what you're doing now, you're reading sentence by sentence.
Thank you.
We have the document. The document, if it's your document.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
For the sake of expediency, I'm not going to read through the case study of the Italian financial markets, but basically the case study of the Italian financial markets postulates the idea that we need to have the main players in the financial markets regulated by the lead regulator, which is the central bank. Hence our proposal that the South African Reserve Bank should play an active role in regulating and supervising financial markets, because financial markets are also a major player in the banking system. That's our main contribution vis-à-vis the Italian model. And over and above that, also to align other pieces of legislation, such as, for example, the Companies Act, which also deals with issues such as uncertificated securities, which are traded under the strat system, to be also included as part of the bill, because we now have the Companies Act also regulating other aspects, as well as the Financial Markets Bill. So we have to come into comparison and see how these two issues can be merged, especially as far as the strat system is concerned. Another aspect is also for the various ombudsmen that regulate the various markets. For example, we've got the insurance ombudsman, we've got the banking ombudsman, etc. We have to see of how these are all conglomerated into the Financial Markets Bill, so that we don't have a lot of dispute issues being regulated separately. For example, if one has got an insurance dispute, since pension funds are part of it, it goes to the insurance ombudsman. Would expect that we have perhaps one ombudsman who deals with all these aspects. I think in a nutshell, that would be my contribution.
Thank you. Jesse?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lee Cochran from the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and as my colleague, Mr. Majorni, has referred to his innovative firm, just to state that the exchange has been voted the best regulated exchange and securities market in the world for the last 2 years. I just want to make some very basic submissions regarding the regulatory structure and framework that we have currently in South Africa, and I will not speak in detail about our detailed submissions that deals with prohibition on any self-regulatory organization to provide security services due to the fact that they exercise public duties and functions, and secondly, the extension of certain provisions regarding the market abuse. Just as Mr. Brits has stated, a very important matter of principle, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, is that the Financial Markets Bill is the expression of policy of the highest legislative power in our republic, being Parliament. Now, the Minister, in terms of this act, is tasked to promulgate delegated legislation in the form of certain regulations, and the purpose of this is to provide detailed regulations of matters provided for in the original form. But the purpose of regulations by the Minister is most definitely not to implement policy or to state policy. The purpose is to implement policy. It is not to state policy or enunciate or amend policy. Now, the amendments, the Registrar, secondly, has no powers to amend policy at all, nor can the Registrar promulgate regulations. It's only for the Minister. So any discussion about matters of policy has to be dealt with the Parliament. So if the Banking Association, the committee, is now considering a material amendment to Section 54.2 of the current bill regarding trade repositories, that is a matter that has to be dealt with the highest power of this country, meaning Parliament. It's not a matter that can be left to be prescribed by regulation, because it will be a deviation from policy as would have been stated by the Parliament. And my second point of principle, Mr. Chairman, is that the Registrar of Security Services in this Act is the regulatory authority, and he is the entity charged with enforcement and the administration of this bill and the securities industry, including the JSE and the other self-regulatory organisations. The Registrar does not delegate any of these powers to any self-regulatory organisation. The Registrar has to and does in fact act in terms of these powers. The exchange with other self-regulatory organisations is merely part of this industry regulated by the Registrar. And the Registrar as regulator then is tasked with ensuring that the self-regulatory organisations comply with their duties and obligations as stated in the Act. There is no delegation of these powers to the exchanges, and the Financial Markets Bill and its predecessor fall very nicely into the general tenor of legislation, of licensing legislation, for many financial institutions such as banks, insurance companies, and so forth. So when we look at the premonitory reports, and they stated so themselves that they are not, they do not profess to have knowledge of the regulatory structure, we cannot say, and it is unlawful to state, that SROs has any form of delegated responsibility from the Registrar. SROs are in their own right licensed entities, and they exercise these obligations and functions in terms of the Act, not in terms of any delegation from the Registrar to the self-regulatory organisations. And it's for these reasons as well, Mr. Chairman, that we have made a comment in principle about the need for the fact that the functions and duties of these self-regulatory organisations have to be properly defined and explained. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we have received the presentations from the three presenters. Can we take questions and comments on the financial market bill? Honourable Koranov, you're becoming the striker at this stage. You are the striker now. Good.
You know, members of parliament, you know, deal with lots of legislation. Now, this is for us new territory, this financial market. Well, we know it's replacing the old legislation, but I'm a little bit concerned that I think I hope we're not rushing this. And let me then phrase my question, whether to all the participants on that side, are you getting the feeling we're rushing this? And secondly, will South Africa go upside down if we don't do this in the next 6 months? You know, so do you need more time to interact with us and the Treasury? That's one question. Maybe the other one. I'm a little bit the Italian model. Now, the Italian banking system is definitely not an example to the rest of Europe. So I do not understand that little case study. So maybe I should ask the Banking Association, are you happy that we go towards the Italian model?
Just, I'll take some more questions, just know the questions. Honorable Liyenge, Honorable Ross, Honorable Chabalala Van Rooyen, in that order. Honorable Harris.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mine, Chair, is actually a cross-cutting one to all of them. Being so important, their views in terms of ensuring that our financial markets are in order and competitive in the globe. Are there any working relationships that are there, and maybe how often do they interact with Treasury on matters that affect the financial markets, not necessarily on matters where there is a certain bill that is coming? Then do you have this kind of opportunity of maybe exchanging views with Treasury? Thank you.
sharing with Honourable Fernhoff that I hope that this legislation is still in the founding stages. But just in terms of international best practice, the banking submission that we made here on the FRO model, you know, we play up that we would like to adhere to the international best practice, but it's certainly that that we're not committing to the international best practice, that the powers has been extended in terms of powers and responsibilities, and I think that's also a huge concern. I think there's still a lot of work to be done before we can actually debate in detail. Thank you.
I've noted you, Honourable Ambrosini, Honourable Chalalala, followed by Van Roy, and then, we'll then follow the line. Okay.
Thank you, Citizen. I think I need to comment probably the, I'm not sure whether it's from the side of the Treasury around the discussions that they've had and the grouping, because if you look into it, you get to also understand and see the intensive work that has been done to get all the groupings and the opinion around this bill. But also on the around the banking industry, I think that one, when I look at it, I can see the issue of the investor and the client protection being taken into account in the bill, specifically around the protection against market abuse. But I hear during your presentation, I could not follow around the issue of the G20, that you raised some concern around the G20. So I would want to find out, does it have something to do with the alignment with international development or practices and so forth? So I would want you to probably elaborate specifically on the issue of the G20 and what it would be your preservation at this stage around it. What is the downside on that one? On the CIPRAS, I think the CIPRAS legal and commercial consultants, I could not find the presentation, Citizen. I was just looking to see the presentation. I'm sorry if it's me from my part. But I just had a lot of issues around supervision of this. Probably about three supervisions that you've been able to mention later on. You also speak about ombudsman. Now, when you look into the Act, it speaks about effective and efficient supervision. So I want to find out from where you are sitting, are you not comfortable with the effective, efficient supervision, to feel that it still needs to be elaborated and downsided to a lot of supervisions that needs to be done later on? We have the ombudsman. I think that's the clarity that I seek from you. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair. Let me start by welcoming the presentation. Chair, I just wanted to check the understanding of ethical, because I think they placed the emphasis on the need to draw a line between our domestic, I mean, the OTC derivatives and those of the international market. So now, in the light of the intense competition that is there in the financial market, I'm not sure if this approach will really, I mean, allow us, I mean, to be an attractive destination if we regulate differently from other markets. And then secondly, Chair, I just wanted to clear, maybe as I add up to the question on the Cyprus presentation. Is it suggesting, because the presentation is not clear as to, because it's only calling for alignment of some of these services, but it's not coming out clear around the issue of having one ombudsman. I'm not sure if it is exactly what the presenter wanted us to understand, because I think I got that in his verbal presentation.
Honourable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. I'm sorry I missed the first presentation. But let me try and phrase some general questions that I have. Do all of this goes to all of the presenters. Do they feel that this bill is sequenced correctly with our move towards the Twin Peaks framework? For example, the assignment of many more responsibilities to the FSB, is it something that we should be doing at this point, or should we perhaps move closer to the Twin Peaks model in general and then be looking at the details of a law like this? And then I'm interested in, are tabling of this bill relative to what the other G20 markets have on the table right now. Where are we? Are we leading the pack? Are we following? Are we, especially with the smaller G20 countries, the countries that are followers, effectively, because they don't make markets themselves, they have to follow the larger markets, the larger economies. Then on the SRO model, I understand there's a general shift globally away from that model, but I note that this bill gives the JSE, which runs the market, which has a commercial interest, it gives them regulatory powers without perhaps giving sufficient controls for that conflict of interest. That raises a question for me if we shouldn't give the FSB a stronger role in that regulatory, with that regulatory responsibility. And then lastly, I'm interested in how much, and this is with reference, Chair, to a conversation I had in the break with the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, in how much we as Parliament put into the law as opposed to leave to the regulations of the delegated legislation. I noticed, for example, that with regards to clearing central clearing houses, the draft we have is silent on that. But obviously there's going to be a very important question we need to ask about whether we are big enough to sustain a central clearinghouse, and or whether we need to establish some kind of equivalence framework, like I understand the Australians and the Canadians have done. So that's a question which I think I'm interested, if you agree with me, is that a question we need to answer? And then secondly, does that, from where you sit, need to be in the law itself? Because from where I sit, Chair, I think it does. I think we need to try and put as much of the material structuring into the law rather than leaving it up to the minister to make, to regulate. That's it, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Ambrosini.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I find this bill personally quite complex, so because I'm confronted with things I know I know, things I know I don't know, and things I don't know I don't know. And it's unusual in a legislation. It's a matter of understanding the bill and understanding the subject matter to which the bill applies, much of which, even in the presentation we received, makes references to things which fall within self-regulation, banking practices, the way things are done. And we are squished between what are portrayed to us as international imperatives. We made a commitment to the G20, the presenter said, that irrespective of its merits, we are bound, or we want to follow it on the one hand. On the other hand, a technical negotiation which takes place with the Treasury, where in-depth discussions take place between people with greater knowledge than at least my own. And then a third stage, which is the regulatory environment, when the regulations are issued, where all the substance really happens there. And that makes me question what we need to do, what I need to do, to be convinced that I'm doing my job as a legislator correctly. So the first thing, Mr. Chairman, through you, whether it would not be possible for Trusted Banking Association to provide us with a larger space, perhaps a workshop space, where we can ask questions in a more interactive manner. The second thing that I raised by the presentation that I had difficulty in understanding was the entire issue of the derivatives as utilized exclusively to transfer, if I understood it correctly, to transfer risks from the insurance sector onto the banking sector, the presenter said, because the banking sector is more equipped to handle them. And obviously the example of AIG comes to mind, where the same derivatives were warehoused within the insurance company, and they became toxic assets. And I would assume that some of the same derivatives, perhaps less reliant on the real estate market, are the type of things we're dealing with here. And I'm trying to understand, why would the banking sector be more suitable to handle what in the end is a liability, unless that depends on the fact that within the banking sectors liabilities are carried as assets and on that basis multiplied in terms of lending ratios. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we'll start with the Banking Association, and I hope you've been able to note the questions in such a way that you'll allocate amongst yourselves or between yourselves from the same institution, so that if one makes a comment or a response, you don't have to pass over to your colleague and come back to yourself. You know, you respond to the questions that you think are relevant for you, and then your colleague will do the same. And so it must go that way, so that you avoid a repetition of what happened in the last presentations.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will try and answer some of the questions. I might have got them wrong, so I'll rephrase them first. I will call on one or two of my learned colleagues in the banking sector to take some of the questions relating to the more technical aspects of it, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves when we pass the baton on. The first question that was raised referred to the rushing of the financial markets bill. And Mr. Chairman, that is a concern for the banking sector. A lot of the detail is going to be kept in the regulations, which will expand the thinking behind the financial markets bill. And whether you know we would be in terms of our ability to survive if the financial markets bill was not enacted immediately, I would imagine it would depend on how long it would take before we could get the financial markets bill enacted after this particular process, which would determine whether we can survive or not. So in principle, if the financial markets bill was not enacted in the near future, in the next week, we would survive until the next round. You talk about the Italian model. What does one say about the Italian model? It suffices to say that in the World Economic Forum, the Global Competitiveness Report ranks the banking sector, particularly South Africa, number two in the world for soundness of its financial markets. I'm not sure whether the Italian banking sector fits into that, and I would hate to guess. But certainly, at the moment, I think we have an exceptionally good regulated environment, and I wouldn't want to change that to another model. However, that is a matter of policy for our Reserve Bank to reflect upon. The working relationships that were raised with relation to National Treasury on our markets. We have been very engaging with National Treasury, and I think in our earlier introductions we recognized that. National Treasury has asked the right questions and has indicated that they will continue to engage us on matters pertaining to this bill, and particularly in OTC derivatives. It is not unusual for such a complex piece of legislation to require a fair amount of technical assistance to understand these matters, and we respect that National Treasury will make policy based on their collective intellect gleaned from some of our presentations. International best practice and not committing, extending the powers and responsibilities. In terms of international best practice, we are committed by our G20 participation to adopt the legislation that is drafted from the international standard centers. As a result of that, we are almost placed on a timeline of the international community and therefore have to meet those requirements. This is something that our policymakers would deliberate and would determine whether that is appropriate for our country. At the moment, both the banking legislation and legislation pertaining to the financial market crisis are all upon us and are being committed to. OTC derivatives, the initial requirement was for this to be something in place by the end of this year, 2012, in terms of legislative framework. The financial market bill gives evidence to that commitment, whereas we are under the impression, and I'm sure that National Treasury could give you some further insights, we are under the impression that National Treasury will take a slow approach to the implementation of these suggestions in terms of regulating OTC derivatives post the end of 2012. Our commitment is there. The reflections on market abuse and the G20 status, I think that is something that has been already covered in terms of our adoption of G20. As the banking sector, we are very mindful of the market abuse provisions and the needs of our country in terms of extending our reach. So once again, that becomes a process as we evolve our legislative frameworks to incorporate those matters. And we really don't have any influence over those policy decisions. We certainly do have processes in place to ensure that market abuse is something that we are focused upon. In the bill, we do have a section that relates to market abuse, specifically in the Financial Markets Bill, and reflection upon that might give you a fair indication of how important it is to the banking sector and the financial markets in general. When it comes to whether we are adequately supervised, I think our bank regulator, in terms of the banking sector, has received many accolades in terms of their ability to regulate the banking sector. I would go as far as to say that the regulator has had an influence over the soundness and safety of our banking sector, and that the banks themselves have implemented very robust risk management processes that have allowed us to avoid the crisis that manifests internationally. And that's a credit to our banking sector. OTC derivatives, looking at domestic markets, we believe that the bill itself needs to have what I would term the wiggle room, the ability for South Africans to engage international service providers should that become necessary. I know my learned colleagues do argue that policy is in the bill, and that already I would imagine the bill is fairly straightforward in terms of its requirements that it be locally registered. We believe that we are different in our approach in this particular matter, and believe that although policy can be made in the Act, the application of those policies is more suited to be done in the regulations. And we would like to see the registrar have as much power at his disposal as a policy, a matter of policy, to be able to enable over-the-counter clearing in foreign jurisdictions. And I think this is something that I shall ultimately defer to my colleagues to reflect on as soon as I wrap up here. The sequencing with Twin Peaks, the additional responsibilities. There is a concern in the banking sector that the Twin Peaks program has not yet manifested itself. We are supportive of the process. We understand that within the corridors of power, there are processes underway where a number of committees have been established to look at the Twin Peaks program. We are under the impression that once the structure has been finalized, regulators will be appointed and they will be tasked with making sure that the regulations are fit for purpose for their structures. Whether this is an appropriate approach, it is challenging, but we are supportive of the fact that this process is already a long way down the track, and whether the Financial Markets Bill gives evidence to that ahead of the Twin Peaks process, we believe there will be some challenges, but that's something that will be worked out through the policy process. When referring on the G20 and us being a smaller country, we are very mindful of the fact that South Africa has a first world banking sector. We are very mindful that we have some very large and trying social issues to address. We don't take this lightly. In all our engagements with regulators and policymakers, we make that point that we are a small country, And within OTC derivatives, it may be possible that the solution provided by the US and North and Europe is somewhat overkill for our current markets. Once again, I am going to refer that to my learned colleagues in the banking sector to give you some insight into what the actual OTC derivative market looks like for South Africa, if you don't mind. The SRO model, in terms of conflict of interest and a stronger role for the FSB, we believe that is something that can be considered, and the bill is the appropriate place to do that. How much is in law and how much is in regulation? Well, that's once again a balancing act between the act that enables you and the regulations that give effect to that enabling. And are we big enough to establish a central clearinghouse? I can't answer that question. I would imagine that there is some merit to developing a local central clearing. Once again, this goes back to our request to ensure that we are able to do something internationally, because if we are not able to substantively address this in terms of volumes, we would then look to using an international counterpart to provide that relief. Basel and workshops, Mr. Ambrosini, we would welcome the opportunity to put together a team that you would consider relevant to address whatever issues that you would need. And I'm sure that request through the chairman to our managing director would be taken seriously, and we would do whatever needed to be done to put together that for you. In terms of the derivatives, we talk about transferring risk from the insurance to the banking sector. We did not say the banking sector. We said transferring risk to those people that are better positioned to manage risk. In our position, the banking sector is one of those entities that specializes in risk management, and therefore it is clear that we are one of the members that can do that job very well. The question of toxic assets, well, Mr. Chairman, through you, this is a term that was used in the US and had very specific implications for the US market. In South Africa, we don't have the same concerns. I think our products are considerably more vanilla in their approach than the complexities of foreign countries, and therefore we don't really see that as a major concern. However, having said that, one does learn from the lessons that have been learned in the international community, and we must always be vigilant pertaining to those sort of issues on toxic assets. And when you say, why would banks want derivatives? Why are we better risk managers? Mr. Chairman, there's no question that the banking sector is the best risk management institution in our country. Whether we actually take them or whether we pass them on or whether we package them, that is a matter for the banks to explain to you. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to ask my colleagues in the banks who are further down the auditorium if they would like to respond to one or two of those questions.
Thank you. Mr. Chairperson and Standing Committee, I'll do my best to answer as many of the questions as possible. I'll try not to repeat all of the comments that have come through from Basa. I think he's summarised the key themes and issues extremely well. The ones I do repeat is really just to reiterate at least my agreement and AFSA Capital's agreement, but I suspect the other banks won't have two differing views. The first question is, you know, are we rushing through this particular bill? And if we don't rush this through, I think the term was, are we likely to see the wheels falling off? I think a lot of the other questions that have come through on the back of that, or on the other members' questions, all talk to, you know, that very first opening statement. The bill is important for South Africa. It's something which is very much related to making sure we have competitive markets in South Africa, making sure that international access is appropriate for the Republic, making sure that local corporations and institutions get the financing which they require for their own particular businesses. Where we perceive things at the moment is absolutely the wheels are going to keep turning. The existing legislation, the existing the work that happens between all of the providers of financial services in South Africa are believed to be strong. The relationships are very, very good. So it's not my opinion that we have any particular problems in the short term. The danger of rushing through legislation, as some of the other questions have come through, is if we put ourselves in a position where we're front-running what's happening internationally, or our legislation is particularly different or over-regulated compared to what international participants are looking for, we could well put ourselves in a position, if done incorrectly, where South Africa is not as appealing as perhaps it is currently. And I want to caveat that by saying I'm not suggesting that the financial markets bill in its current state is in any way heading towards those sorts of issues. However, if there is a thought process where we should take more time over this, whether it is actually having more reviews in smaller working groups or more time to take to actually assess the impact of the financial markets bill, more time to consider how it fits in with Twin Peaks and the Twin Peaks rollout, that's certainly something which I think many would support. In terms of are we comfortable that there is enough supervision, I think to reiterate what Mark said, working in the industry, I can tell you from experience that we get significant supervision specifically from the Reserve Bank, and I think they do an exceptional job in getting to understand exactly the risks and exposures that the banks are actually running. And in terms of the FSB, as they've gone through this process, we've been very impressed with the level of oversight that they're pushing through from the people that we've actually met. I think one of the issues that was raised is whether the oversight is actually enshrined enough in the proposed legislation, or whether we're placing reliance on the people and mechanisms that have been developed outside of that legislation. I think for me those are the two that I'm just going to lead to. I know there were other questions that were out there with regard to the financial markets and international access OTC derivatives, but perhaps the best thing is if there are further questions that they're just raised again.
Okay. Who's next? Let me also take this opportunity to welcome our guests in the gallery. You're welcome to listen to our deliberations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the question of ombudsman, if I got the honourable member correctly, my proposal was that we now have a plethora of legislation which makes reference to the ombudsman. For example, we have got the Insurance Act, we have got the Banks Act, and the issues that these ombudsmen deal with are peculiar to insurance and banking. Now we have the financial markets, and under the definition of financial institution, we now have all these institutions conglomerated into the application of the financial services bill. So my proposal was then, how does an ombudsman who is used to dealing with specifically insurance matters handle issues that are peculiar to financial markets should they have a dispute? Hence, I'm proposing that probably we have an all-encompassing code of conduct regulating all the ombudsmen, because with this new act, with new bill being passed into an act, it would mean that there are certain issues which the ombudsmen are not used to. If I would summarize that way. I don't know if I answered you correctly, madam. And on the issue of supervision, I think you also asked a question. My proposal was that of an integration. By integration, I would mean that the Reserve Bank take a leading role in supervising financial markets, because the Reserve Bank already is the lead regulator insofar as banking is concerned. Hence, I was saying the Reserve Bank should take a leading role. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will briefly answer the questions and attempt not to duplicate the responses that you've received already. I unfortunately didn't know when I was given the right to address the committee I was also going to be obliged to answer questions, but I'll do my best. Firstly, whether we need more time, certainly from the exchange's perspective, we have been consulted extensively, and if the bill is passed in its current format, we would be satisfied that the appropriate consultation and discussion processes have taken place. If, however, there are matters of policy that may be amended, that is currently stated, the act had changed, I think we would then have to reconsider that. But certainly as the bill stands at the moment, we are satisfied. And flowing from that, we have interacted regularly with the National Treasury and with our regulated Registrar of Security Services during the consultation process of this bill. The third question regarding the best practices of the G20, certainly from the formal financial markets or the exchange perspective, we are aligned with that. With the OTC derivative space, there are different views on international on how to regulate that. The United States and Europe have divergent views from that, and we can't say which one is right in the South African context. But just as an example, our first and most pressing issue in that market is to ascertain what is the size and nature of that market. And let's say, for example, we find that that market is mostly dealt with our five major banks, then that could appropriately be regulated and supervised by the Reserve Bank without the need for any additional regulatory structures. But my point with that is we first need to ascertain the size of it. Then I'll ask my colleague, Mr. Sean Davies, who's our Director of Surveillance, to address the Twin Peaks and other G20 matters. Then just regarding the self-regulatory model internationally and the issue about conflicts of interest, the exchange has been in existence for 120 years, and in those years, these issues have come to the fore and been decided on by the courts many times. And the first time, I think, was in 1914, where the exchange misused its powers. So the JC has been taken to task and has, I think, lost every single case so far in the five cases in the last 100 years. But the protection of any conflict of interest is in the public duties and functions imposed on the exchange. The exchange may only act in accordance with those public duties and functions, in accordance with its rules, and to further the objects of the Act. Any action, whether it's a conflict of interest, an abuse of power, or any other unlawful action, would be challengeable. The exchange will be taken to task by the registrar and or any other person involved. There are numerous complaints from clients and of listed companies and the directors to the Registrar of Security Services about the conduct of the exchange, and that is addressed in the normal process. We are also the appeal board constituted in terms of this Act, is there to deal with any aggrieved parties that are not satisfied with any action taken by the exchange or by the registrar. And after those internal remedies have been exhausted, you obviously have the powers of the courts. So in our view, it has been sufficiently addressed, and it has been in the last 120 years. There are existing and appropriate regulatory framework and remedies to deal with these issues. My last comment is about the delegation or whether the Parliament should make policy decision of what amount in the Act and what amount in the regulations. And just to repeat my first comments, is that the policy of the legislature should be reflected in the Act itself, and regulations should only be used to implement that policy. We cannot leave the implementation of policy to the Minister or to the Registrar of Financial Services. I think that would in any event not be in accordance with the provision of the Constitution of South Africa. If I could just maybe defer to my colleague, Mr. Sean Davies, to address the other two issues. Sorry, lastly, Chair, before I forget, regarding the Honourable Member's question about the insurance company and futures. Interestingly, insurance contracts and futures contracts have a common origin hundreds of years ago, and that's to transfer risk. There's a speculator in the futures market or insurer and somebody that would like to hedge that exposure. So whether it's an insurance contract or a future, the appropriate way to look at this is that the right way to manage that risk and for the speculator or the insurance company, is that managed appropriately? So it's not maybe, you know, from a theoretical perspective, it shouldn't make a difference whether that risk is borne by the bank or the insurance company, with a proviso that that entity managed that risk in the appropriate manner. But certainly in a South African context, we agree with the master submission that the banks are probably the best positioned in the South African context to take on that risk as a result of the prudential regulation for the business as a bank. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Last two questions, short and direct.
Chair and members of the committee, as regards the issue as to whether this bill is correctly sequenced in relation to the development of the Twin Peaks model, our understanding of the Twin Peaks model is such that there would be a separation of the prudential regulation of the major players in the financial services industry from the oversight of the conduct of the participants in that industry. It is correct that under the current Security Services Act and the Financial Markets Bill that the prudential oversight of financial intermediaries, certainly in relation to the securities markets, falls within the power of the Registrar of Security Services and Financial Markets, and that the oversight to a large extent is directly performed by some of the self-regulatory organizations. So, for example, the authorized users of an exchange are subject to the capital requirements that are imposed by the exchange as a self-regulatory organization in protecting the health of the financial markets and the commitments that the market players have towards each other. Having said that, a number of the participants in the financial markets are also banks, and the Financial Markets Bill does not prescribe that the oversight of the capital requirements of the banks are addressed under the Financial Markets Bill. That would still remain under the banking legislation. So as has been indicated, the development of the Twin Peaks model still requires a significant amount of input, and I think as participants in the financial markets, we will all have to determine what the most appropriate model is. But I don't believe that it would be appropriate to enact this particular bill with its current provisions in relation to the oversight of the financial intermediaries by the SROs in its current state. And then just as regards where we are in relation to the development of other G20 countries in relation to the G20 initiatives, although I don't have any personal knowledge, particularly in relation to their state of enactment of initiatives by the smaller countries, it's my appreciation that to some extent we are catching up in relation to where a number of them have developed with some of their initiatives, particularly in relation to OTC derivatives, clearing, reporting to trade repositories. Not only have many of those countries enacted legislative provisions to give effect to the G20 initiatives, but they've also made substantial progress in relation to the implementation of a number of those programs. That's not to suggest at all that we should rush to catch up. We must do whatever is right for South Africa and for the health of the South African financial system. But if anything, we have some way to go in order to meet the equivalent requirements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Like I said earlier on, this is quite an involved matter. If we had enough time, we'd actually give you more space to share more with ourselves, so that when we come to the final determination and conclusion as committee members, we would feel satisfied that we've taken into consideration all your submissions. Having said so, I now see Neil and Jack from Moody's. They are now, they've decided to rate us from a different position. I'm sure we're going to get a rating after this. Honorable Korenov, don't be surprised. I see Eminent Persons Group representatives up there. Yeah. Okay. I think, honorable members, in terms of how to take this process forward, in terms of the challenges on our side, whether we should rush this or not want to rush it, that is an internal discussion that we'll have and assess ourselves as committee members. But I think the first bullet point on the presentation of the Banking Association does give us some indication of what are we dealing with. That the financial sector is going through a sweeping changes throughout the world, throughout the globe. And therefore, the regulatory environment so is also subjected to these changes. Tied to that is that South Africa's banking and financial markets, to a very large extent, have been very resilient. Now, how we process this pieces of legislation is going to be informed by our need to continue to improve, to become the best, if not to lead, as much as we are an emerging market. But there's nothing that says we cannot actually set correct examples for the rest of the globe on these issues. I think those factors will also determine how we deal with the legislation itself. And as to how much is going to be in the regulations and how much is going to be in the Act itself, it's a matter that will continue to engage and interact. But suffice to say, we will determine on our own as the committee if we still need further engagement with yourself, and we need more information, of course, in consultation with National Treasury on some of the issues. And I think we should actually appreciate your contributions and your time that you spend with us this morning after this afternoon. And thank you very much. We're looking forward to continue to have interactions with yourselves, because I don't think this is a once-off process. We'll continue to engage in one way or the other. Thank you very much. And also, Moody's, we thank you for observing us now. Okay, honorable members, we have come to the end of our presentations and discussions for today. Thank you, Honorable Ambrosini. I see you want to walk. Thank you.